All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. This is Sunday, the 26th day of September, year of our Lord, 2010. Our special guest today is Lucas. Lucas is the presenter in his best-selling DVD, The Destroyer Star and the Future of Mankind. His website where you can obtain this video is World Wide Web, rabbitholenumeral2.com. I say again, rabbitholenumeral2.com. Lucas, are you still there, sir?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, we got Doug wants to ask one more follow-up question, and we're going to move on.
Yeah,
Doug, are you still there?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, just kind of a wrap-up. So when I looked at the whole dragon thing, it appeared to me, I was rushing, because I don't know how long your commercial breaks are, but I was just rushing, and I've read the scriptures many times. And well, anyway, so I'm looking through this thing, and the first thing that comes to my mind is it's both physical and metaphysical, okay? Just like you could go into the aircraft thing, that they're multidimensional. That's kind of the same thing. And so I think what we're dealing with here with as far as the overlords is a group of people that have to present a way of looking at things of what everybody actually is living under, their reality, as being something that's, we need them all the time. But if it was spoken about and broadcast that, hey, there's something coming in here, has been affecting the earth for a long time, that they have no control over, because the actual, what they're trying to present is that they're the ones that can protect us, and it's this whole system. But if once things start coming in that totally devastated areas, then people would wake up and they'd go,
That's right.
I guess
that's right. They would. Okay, Doug, we appreciate your comment. We need to move on here. We got a break. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 26th day of September. Well, I got a couple of important announcements here myself. We just had a whole bunch of important announcements, and I have some advertisers that want to get some messages out. Freeze Dry Guy wants to let you know he's got two specials for September. His 72-hour gluten-free survival kit for only $187.50, and his 36-hour gluten-free survival kit, it's only $67.50. I'm on a gluten-free diet myself. It has changed my life dramatically for the better. You may want to find out if that would be beneficial for you. Anyway, Freeze Dry Guy's out there on the left coast. You can call him Monday through Friday during Pacific Coast business hours at 866-404-3663. I say again, 866-404-3663. His website is freezedryguy.com, and there's a link from my website, thelibertyman.com. Now, if you have an interest in firearms, and I know most of you do, it would help me a lot if my advertiser got a call from you ordering the free 2-hour DVD and the free 90-page full-color catalog. It'll be a direct benefit for me, and I need to let my advertiser know. And the only way my advertiser knows that people are paying attention, American Gunsmithing Institute, is if people call up and order the free DVD. It's 800-474-2514. I say again, 800-474-2514. There's a link to my website, a nice big banner there at my website, thelibertyman.com. And you can order the free 2-hour DVD there. It's very educational and entertaining to watch this, by the way. And last but not least, my friend Rick Salata can help you get electricity at your home, at your farm, at your ranch. Put together a system. A critical part of the system should be an Edison battery from ZapWorks. Edison batteries will last for decades. Since the original ones are still working after more than a century, we really don't know how long they last. Rick can give you the details. He's on Pacific time, or excuse me, Mountain Time. Rick's on Mountain Time up there in Dillon, Montana. At 406-834-3611. I say again, 406-834-3611. The website is ZapWorks. That's Zebra, Alpha, Papa, Papa, ZapWorks.com. And, of course, there's a link on my links page to ZapWorks. All right, Lucas, are you still there, sir?
Righto.
Well, we got the calls just are stacked up here like planes at LaGuardia. I think next up is Sheldon. Got another comment. Go ahead, Sheldon.
Yeah, John, I'm coming in for another landing here. I've only been in this like 9 to 10 months, but I'm sure still learning a lot myself here. Even though I do a talk show on it, I found this on Earth Change's Central website. A mystery force in space baffles NASA. The Pioneer 10 spacecraft. They discovered this last year that it was starting to be repelled, so it's coming back towards us. It was traveling out into space over a million kilometers a day. Now it's only traveling 25 centimeters a day, but it's coming back towards us. And they discovered this last year. And if you recall, John DiNardo said there was that fireball that crashed into Jupiter last year. So that could be an indication that maybe it really was starting to pierce the ecliptic table out there by Jupiter.
Well, if you look back at the encyclopedia in 1987, they show right in the encyclopedia that they were sending the Pioneer out to intercept the 10th planet and the dead star. So, I mean, if they sent those out with the objective to get involved in those two bodies out there, then, you know, who knows what the real story is about what those spacecraft really are.
Well, one of the nicknames we have for NASA is Never a Straight Answer.
Yeah.
NASA is the military, you know. All these crews being led by Major so-and-so and Colonel so-and-so is not a mistake. NASA is the military.
Well, here's something that's interesting. You know, just the other day, maybe 3 or 4 days ago, a river in Slovenia just disappeared overnight. The townspeople heard a loud bang, and they got up the next morning, and the river that was normally there for years was gone. It was just dry, and there were dead fish laying in the riverbed, and they don't know where the river went.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Okay. Well, Sheldon, thank you for your call again.
Thank you, John.
Okay. And, let's get through some more calls here. Larry in Arkansas. Go ahead, Larry.
Hello. I'm calling to Lucas. Lucas, I'm the one that sent in an order, snail mail.
Hey, how you doing? Was it Lawrence?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Yep, you live in Arkansas. You got a P.O. box there.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure you received it. I don't trust the mail worth a darn.
I sent that out like a week ago, so you should be getting it any day.
Okay. Sure appreciate it.
Hey, take care.
Love this show.
Well, thank you.
Bye.
We all got our postal stories, don't we, Lucas?
Yeah, he's got a P.O. box. Sometimes, you get in between checking your P.O. box and the time, it took me a couple days to get down to mine.
I got a great postal story for you. Law firm I was working with sent a letter to the Missouri Court of Appeals in downtown St. Louis, Missouri. Well, we had an old reference book in the law firm, and we mailed it to the incorrect address, which was two or three blocks in downtown St. Louis from where it used to be. And we got the letters sent back to us by the U.S. Postal Service, said addressee moved, new address unknown. This is Missouri Court of Appeals, and they'd moved three blocks away.
Yeah.
It was pretty amazing. Well, we got another call here on hold. Randy in Louisiana. Go ahead, Randy.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to talk about the destroyer, 10th Planet. Being in Louisiana, I'm interested in the effect that the 10th Planet would have. Every future map that I've found on the Internet shows the state of Louisiana pretty much underwater. About 80 to 90% of it underwater.
Right.
So there's a lot of people here that should be interested in following this topic. And what I'm wondering is, what are the best whistleblowers that we know of? I'm trying to identify as best I can what to expect with the 10th planet as far as when it might start affecting us, and is it really coming at us?
I think the best whistleblowers that are out there are the ancients, because they didn't have any reason whatsoever to propagandize us in our time. And you don't know what to trust out there. There's so much malarkey and disinformation to poison the well. You just don't know what to trust out there these days. So that's why I put a lot of faith in that the ancient writings and the petroglyphs and all that, because, like I said, those people didn't have any reason to try and trick us in the future. And like John said, you know, when you're in a survival atmosphere, to spend all your time doing that, it must have been very important to them. So I would say them. In today's world, you know, there's so many people talking about so many different things. I don't even know who to say in that matter. There's been a lot of people that have up and disappeared over the last, you know, 20 years talking about various subjects. So it all seems like they all have PhDs, though. That's the good thing about not having a PhD. They don't off you.
Do you know of any whistleblowers that have worked at the South Pole Telescope?
No, I don't. No, I wish I did. I wish there was somebody that would come out and, well, actually, I don't wish that, because, to be honest, what I want to tell everybody is that, you know, this information is scary, but I don't want to put this out there to scare people. The fact that you found this information is because you're looking for it, okay? I never try and convince people that aren't interested in the information, because, you know, there's no use in trying to talk people into this. So anybody that finds this has basically been looking for it. And it'll, you know, all the puzzle pieces, once you start laying them out in front of you, you start to be able to build a border around the puzzle and start to form a bigger picture. And it's that, you know, governments and people are preparing for something big. You know, a lot of actors and richies have bought submarines from the Russian military. And so, you know, there are people preparing. You know, some people are going to try and prepare underneath the ocean.
Randy, I've seen those maps also. There's about 20 or so maps done by psychics that you can find on the Internet. The map on my DVD is a replica of the U.S. Navy map, and you're right. It shows most of Louisiana being underwater, and that's, unfortunately, most likely what's going to happen to your state.
I am looking at higher ground.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Well, I would just say stay away from where the elites go as much as possible, because, you know, they're going to have their little areas all tied up, and, you know, if you do manage to get anywhere near close to that, you'd be lucky if you don't get enslaved for whatever reason. So it's probably best to make your own way in an area that you know that isn't going to be inundated with a bunch of billionaires.
Stay away from military bases?
Absolutely. Randy, all you got to do is go north, go through Arkansas, get into northern Arkansas, southern Missouri, and the Ozark Mountains. You should be fine.
I'll be looking at that.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, John.
All right. All right. Well, where do we go from here, Lucas?
Well, I guess we just hope for the best at this point, because, you know, like the caller before the last one said, you know, the governments, they can't do anything about it. So, you know, there's no use in being afraid, for one, because it is what it is. It's going to be what it's going to be.
Right.
No matter what you or I or any one of these government officials, whether all the government pulls all its resources together, it's going to be what it's going to be. And just make the most out of, you know, every day you got, that's for sure.
Absolutely. I think we got a break. Lucas, hold on. We got some callers on hold. We'll be right back.
You've got an inside corner on the truth, thanks to John Moore and the Republic Broadcasting Network. To talk to John Moore live on the air, call 1-800-313-9443.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 26th day of September, last Sunday of the month. My special guest today is Lucas. He is the producer, the presenter, and his best-selling DVD titled The Destroyer Star and the Future of Mankind. You can get this DVD at his website, World Wide Web, rabbithole2.com. That's rabbithole2.com. Well, Lucas, we got the callers just keep coming in here. Are you ready for another caller?
Sure.
All right. Richard in Wisconsin. Richard, before you speak, I need to say one thing. Every Navy veteran, and I've debriefed more than a dozen of these men who saw the classified Navy map, everyone, without exception, said most of Wisconsin will be underwater, according to the U.S. Navy, once these events kick in. So with that, Richard, go ahead.
Hi, I'm a very first-time caller. A bit nervous, and hello to you both.
Hi, how you doing?
Welcome Good. Aboard.
Okay, I listened to a radio program broadcast on the 12th of this month concerning some of this Planet X information and ancient history and whatnot that way. Maybe you're interested in hearing something about that?
Yeah.
Was it a television show or a radio show?
Radio show on WWCR,
okay.
10 p.m. Central. And it's called The Herald of Truth on the 12th of this month.
Okay.
And you can click on our website and the radio mic symbol and archive broadcast and hear about that.
All right.
All right, great. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Okay. You had a previous caller talking about a TV program or a movie, people going back in time. I think you might have been referring to the old Time Tunnel TV show from way back when.
That's possible. That's possible. Yep. Okay.
Okay, that's all I got to say.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate that, Richard.
Thanks.
And is this the John in Wisconsin that I know on hold here?
Yes, it is, John. How you doing? I hope
Real
the
good.
Bunkers here. I hope the bunkers here in Wisconsin are watertight. So.
Well, it depends on how high they are.
Yeah, it's Fort McCoy has definitely got a deep underground base up there, and they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars on upgrading that base. And Volk Air Force Base, that's the active duty base up there, they're going to have a drone command center up there.
Really?
That they're building. So, but, you know, people think that we're making this stuff up. You know, this was not too long ago. End of the world in 2013, says NASA. Here, Sunday, April 19, 2009, but Washington Times, climate refugees in Pacific flee rising sea. It just goes on, and I document this stuff so people don't think, oh, you're making this stuff up. Rising seas threaten renowned French post. You know, I don't know if Lucas knows my story, John, but I think I said it 100 times on your show that this information was given to me back two decades ago from somebody that was stationed at the United States Air Force Command in the Weather Operations Division. Saw those maps, too. She didn't see the whole state of Wisconsin underwater, but the coasts were gone. Florida was gone. And I told you that what she saw in the conference room there.
Right.
So
yeah, she was a valuable source, she's still fearful of talking about who she is or anything, isn't she?
Right. Yeah, I don't have any contact with her anymore since her divorce. But after I'd known her about just about 2 years, you know, we had a cookout in the backyard. She was my neighbor, and I asked, what's this global warming stuff about? Because I figure you're a weather person, and that's when she's, you know, hesitated and stuff. She goes, well, if I tell you, you promise not to tell anybody. And then a couple of years, many years later, then I heard you talking about it. I said, hey, this guy's not supposed to be talking about this stuff. You know? And then she, of course, listened to your shows, and I said, well, is it possible I can call in a show and tell them what I know? And, you know, I had to get consent. I couldn't just be Jack in the Box, come out and say, hey, I know about this stuff. You know, I didn't want to get her in trouble. But it is true. And she walked in that conference room. There's the white screen, you know, the overhead projector screen there. But on the left side of that screen was a world map, and the other side was the United States map. And she saw the Aleutian Islands gone, the Pacific Islands gone, the tip of Chile and Argentina. Near the South Pole was gone, the coast of Australia was gone. Then she looked at the United States map, Florida was definitely gone, and like I say, Louisiana was gone too, the coast there. I think you saw the map that she drew that I gave to Sheldon. I don't know if Sheldon forwarded it to you. So
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, and you know, South Pole, you know, the South Pole is actually tropic. You know, actually there's ancient maps of the South Pole. I've talked to the guy that was down there, John. He gave a lecture at one of the museums up here in Milwaukee.
Uh-huh.
And he says there's a lot more that's going on here. They're not telling us. They're sending archaeologists down there doing secret digs. And I did read something that they were sending astronomers, down there with their telescope. They do have a telescope that they're looking at something down there.
Well, you know, John, just look at the numbers. McMurdo Bay is the main U.S. location.
Right.
Thousands of men and women. I mean, how many people does it take to drill ice cores, you know?
It's great. I know, John.
You and I and Lucas could drill all the ice cores they would ever want. You know?
I know. They're doing secret digs down there. And you know, the thing is, I'm just looking at the Scott Base webcams. It's 26.8 below zero right down there right now. And in the middle of the South Pole, the Emerson Scott Base down there is 77 degrees below zero right now. If you guys want to look at webcam South Pole,
the end of winter, beginning of spring in the Antarctic.
Right.
The Antarctic summer, I believe it was 2004-05, they had grass growing in the Antarctic for the first time since modern men have been going down there.
So something's telling you something's going on there.
Absolutely. We're
going to join the South Pole someday, John. So it's nice talking to you. And
okay. Thank you, John.
Again.
We appreciate the call.
Take care.
Break coming up. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 26th day of September. I guess I should remind you that my website is thelibertyman.com. That's where you can find my best-selling DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You. Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You. I have a toll-free number. You can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and the line will be answered by very nice, polite young Americans. Nobody in India, thank you very much. That number is 800-592-9543. I say it again, 800-592-9543 to order my best-selling DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You. My special guest today is Lucas. Lucas is the presenter of his best-selling DVD, The Destroyer Star and the Future of Mankind. It's a two-disc set, very nicely packaged, very professional, and it's available at his website, World Wide Web, rabbitholenumeral2.com, rabbitholenumeral2.com. Well, this time's going by pretty quickly here, isn't it, Lucas?
Oh, it flies by. And you had mentioned about the, you know, the title of your DVD, Global Warming, which I had been talking about for the last couple of days. The mere fact that they've had to switch the terminology from global warming to climate change tells me that the elites are no more prepared for this than we are. Because if they would have known exactly what was going to happen, they would have called it climate change from the very beginning.
They would have, because it really does discredit you when you attempt to change your message in the middle of the stream.
Yeah, so that means that they, you know, as it they knew it was going to get warm, but they didn't know that it was going to get all wacky. Like this year in Texas, it's been cold. It's been a really weird year down here, just with three snowfalls and, you know, the weather's just out of place. It rained the last 7 days in a row. Today was the first day it didn't rain in over a week.
Well, here deep in the mountains of Missouri Ozarks, we're just about a foot above our normal annual rainfall right now. We had typically here in the Midwest, we'll get several days, maybe 3 days in a row where it's around 100 degrees. We had 7 weeks straight where it was 95 to 105 degrees. And I haven't looked at any records, but our records here go back about 105, 110 years through the late 1890s typically. I'm pretty sure this may have broke all existing records for hot weather.
Well, it looks like you're getting our weather here from Texas, and you can have it for a while because I'm enjoying these nice, cool temperatures down here.
Well, we're getting some seasonable weather now. Right now, it's 55 degrees and overcast outside. So, but we were running air conditioners up until just about 3 or 4 days ago.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we got a couple of calls here. We finally got the ladies to call. They've been sitting back waiting and watching. And Cheryl in Virginia. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Well, hey, John. How are you?
Real good.
Well, good. I own the website earthchanges.ning.com, and I wanted to make a comment that the passage of Planet X is survivable. You know, I mean, we know this big bad thing is coming at us, but fear can really take over. So we need to balance the fact that a extinction level event is headed towards us with the fact that there are things that we could do that will increase our chances to survive.
Absolutely. Now, give us your website again, please.
It's earthchanges, that's one word, dot Ning, N-I-N-G, dot com.
M-I-N-G, Ming, like Ming Dynasty?
Ning, N as in Nancy, I-N-G.
Oh, Ning, November.
Ning.
India, November, okay.
Yeah.
November, India, November Gulf, okay, I'm with you.
Okay, cool. So preparations do not guarantee you're going to survive, because we're going to have so much stuff coming at us from every different direction imaginable, but it certainly increases the odds.
Water, that's the key there, is learning how to survive the, you know, the time you're without water. And it's great and all to buy water filters, you know, on the internet and things like that and have a supply of that. But it's also smart to learn how to make your own water filter out of charcoal from a fire, and, you know, things like that to get you past when your store-bought things run out.
Right. I have my Big Berkey and I have my Katadyn, but I also realize that a landslide could kill my campsite, or, you know, a sinkhole could open up underneath me and I barely escape and all my stored food drops out. So besides having all the technology and the supplies in the world, more importantly, you need to have survival skills in your head.
Absolutely. Right. Could
salt
not agree more, Cheryl.
Salt is another big preserver of meat and fish that was used throughout the ages. That, you know, when this event happens, you can be rest assured that there's going to be deer and cows dead everywhere, and it'd be in people's best interest to preserve that meat as fast as possible with salt.
Absolutely.
Right.
I regard salt as possibly the best barter item for the following reasons. First of all, human beings cannot live without salt. Second of all, it's incredibly cheap. Right now, you could get a 2-ton truckload of salt for just a couple of $100. And insects won't bother it. Heat won't bother it. Cold won't bother it. If it gets wet, you dry it out. And thieves, at least for the time being, thieves aren't going to steal your salt. Now, during crisis, they may finally figure it out. It's got some value. But it's probably as close to the ideal barter item that you could purchase right now, very cheap, that later on would be extremely valuable.
Oh, yeah, to have a 55-gallon drum of that around would be great.
Well, it's so cheap. You could fill up a 55-gallon drum for about the cost of 2 movie tickets. You know?
Right, and for those that are on real budgets, you can get the off-brand at Walmart for like 34 cents a canister.
Yeah, now if you're going for strictly barter, that would be the way to get it. If you're going for bulk, you can get 50-pound sacks for not much money.
Right, right.
Okay, well, Cheryl, are you a new listener?
I followed you in your audios and from your website, but yes, this is the first time I've listened
live. Well, we appreciate your calling, Cheryl, and the work you're doing with your website. And if you would leave your number with my engineer offline, I would appreciate it. I'd like to talk to you later.
Well, sure. So I'll close out with a quote from Louis Pasteur, if I may.
Sure.
He says, "Chance favors the prepared mind." This is what our government has deprived us of, is the ability to prepare our minds, and that's what we need to be doing first, most, and foremost. Okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cheryl, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, it's good to hear somebody with a positive attitude, and we got a note here from my engineer that the movie we're trying to think of may be called Sliders.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, and that reminds me, the speed of the asteroids is around 10 kilometers per second. I looked it up.
10 kilometers, which would be about 6 miles.
Yeah, they can come in at, you know, anywhere from 10 to 20 kilometers per second, so that's fast.
Well, 6 miles a second, that'll get your attention, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of evidence to show that the San Bruno blast was quite possibly an impact event. There was a crater there. Eyewitnesses talking about fireballs. Fireballs spotted in the sky. And if you look at the video, the surveillance video from the Exxon there, you can clearly see that the whatever happens puts out a shockwave that comes well 5 seconds before the blast of the fireball comes. So, yeah, there's something crazy about that, too.
It's all consistent with that kind of event, isn't it?
Exactly.
Absolutely. We've got a regular caller here, Blue from Tennessee. Go ahead, Blue.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
Hi.
Good. Number one, you're not hip enough. You've missed the current term regarding climate change. It's now called climate disruption.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They changed it again.
Yes.
Climate what now?
Dysfunction.
Climate dysfunction.
Yeah.
No. Disruption.
Oh, disruption, yeah, that's
disruption.
Right.
Okay, I was going to say, it sounds kind of psychological there.
yeah, just give it some Xanax and it'll be all right.
Climate disruption. I like that. Yeah, that'll get people so confused they won't pay attention at all anymore.
There you go. Ding, ding, ding. That's exactly what they're looking for. But the reason I had called, John, I'm going to give you a research project for next week's show.
Well, let's see what it is. Go ahead.
All right, ran across a website. And it was brought to me by RBN and Saturday's host. The website is SNAP, S-N-A-P, Scouts, S-C-O-U-T-S, .org.
SNAP Scouts, okay. .org? Okay.
Yes, .org. It is one of the most terrifying things I have ever seen in my life.
Really?
It is all child-friendly. I mean, when you pull up the page, which I have on my screen right now, there's a little boy with a magnifying glass and a baseball cap in front of his home holding a red and white blue flag with some stars on it.
Okay.
And the whole premises of this is SNAP Scouts keeping America safe. If you want to earn tons of cool badges and prizes while competing with your friends to see who can be the best American, download the Snapshot app for your Android phone or an iPhone app coming soon and get started patrolling your neighborhood.
Who's the sponsor of this website?
It is based by a company, MINITRU LLC.
Okay. Is there government money behind this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Big time.
That's what I'd suspect, yeah.
Yeah. Let me continue with what this website says. It's up to you to keep America safe. If you see something suspicious, snap it. If you see someone who doesn't belong, snap it. Not sure if something is suspicious, snap it. Play with your friends and family to see who can get the best prizes. Join Snap Scouts today.
Well, they want these kids to take pictures.
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
Well, good. Hopefully we can turn that around to, if you see a government official acting out of line, snap it. You know, if you see the news not telling a story, snap it.
Right, right.
Well, let me give you some of the testimonials real quick. You guys research it, what I ask is that you research it and you do this because I can't get to the information that you can get to, John. But the testimonials. My 8-year-old caught the gardener smoking something that was suspicious. It wasn't marijuana, but as it turns out, he was an illegal. Phyllis Spector, 39, from Ohio.
Uh-huh.
And this is international. My son and I are competing for the same major freedom badge. 3 more suspicious activity reports, and he takes the lead. I have never been so proud. Roger Phillips from London, UK. It's like crime prevention so easy, a third grader can do it. Whitman from Oklahoma.
Yep, they've been conditioning us for a long time.
Blue, we got another call here about the Snap Scouts. I appreciate the heads up, and we'll move on from there, okay?
All All right, thanks.
Thank you very much. And we got Mark in Michigan. Go ahead, Mark.
I looked at this morning. I'm not saying we're not being set up for the, you know, the 100 million civilian security forces, okay?
Okay.
But on the About Us section on Snap Scouts, it was developed by Minitrue, think Ministry of Truth, by George Parsons and Winston O'Brien. Think George Orwell and Winston Smith.
Oh, really?
So it looks like, and I've done a little bit of research, it looks like it's a really well-designed gag. But I'm not saying that it isn't, cognitive preconditioning. So that when something does come down the road and the kids are all in school and the teachers are, because a lot of this was going on in Britain, where they had the kids were all acting like green police,
right?
And they have been
definitely conditioning us for a long time. I mean, in fact, if you go on the rabbithole2.com and look at the story about Batman's grandfather founded Skull and Bones, episode number 33 of the original Batman back in 1966. Batman's or Bruce Wayne's grandmother invites all the villains over to the mansion for dinner, and while they're having dinner, one of them looks up at a picture and says, "Is that Bruce Wayne's grandfather?" And his grandmother says, "No, that's his great grandfather." And the guy says, "Oh, I heard he was tapped for Skull and Bones." And she says, "Tapped for it? He founded Skull and Bones."
Yep.
And
really?
That was back in 1966, episode 33, very coincidental.
Yep.
Once again.
Unfortunately, I think we're all dealing, we're so used to dealing with our day-to-day lives and just trying to, get through the week and the month, but we're dealing with people who think in terms of generations.
And, that is
and they've got the money, they've got the wherewithal, they've got everything they need that they don't have to think about the day-to-day, just living that we all have to. And
absolutely.
So, but yeah, it's starting to seem like the time is now. So preparedness
absolutely.
For one, and just do the best you can with what you've got.
Absolutely.
Anyways, I do enjoy RBN, and I thank you for it.
Okay, thank you, Mark. We appreciate it. And we got Mr. Engineer, let's take no more calls here because we got them stacked up, like I say, the planes at LaGuardia. Lane in Kansas. Go ahead, Lane. Lane.
Oh, I guess he dropped off.
Can you hear us?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
We're up here in northwest Kansas, about 250 miles east-southeast of Denver. In the high plains, we're about 3,000 feet above sea level. How do you think we're situated for what may be coming down?
Well,
go ahead, you take it.
Yeah, here's what you'll be dealing with, Lane. 200-mile-an-hour winds. You'll be dealing with wide variations in precipitation and temperature compared to what we've always been used to. Are you in a crop-growing area there? In Kansas?
Yeah, we are. We're in a lot of wheat and corn and soybeans and irrigation.
Right. The grain growing belt in the United States may be one of the last remaining places where grains can be grown normally and in great quantities. Putting the grain belt, making the grain belt, I should say, a very tempting target for China especially, which is going to lose a lot of their agricultural land. You're about, 150 miles or so from the I-35 corridor?
Let's see. Yeah, probably so, yeah. Up near Salina, that one?
Right. Let's talk about this when we come back from the break. This is important, and stay tuned. We'll be right back.
John Moore is as close as your telephone. Call him right now, 1-800-313-9443.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. My special guest, Lucas. You can get his best-selling DVD at his website, World Wide Web, rabbithole2.com. We're just about out of time here, gentlemen. Real quick, Lane, if you don't have a copy of my DVD, I talk about the I-35 corridor. What's not talked about is why are they building the darn thing in the first place? We already have the rivers and railroads and existing highways to move grains and other stuff. The reason being, most of this infrastructure will be broken and damaged and destroyed following these earth changes. And if you notice, the I-35 corridor comes out at a port in Mexico. And they're going to be shipping that grain out of this country, probably to China, I think is what will be going on.
Yeah, one of the things that, you know, you just mentioned that you're in Kansas. I had emailed one of the world's, best engineering geomorphologist, that's a study of big waves and earth changes and that sort of thing. His name is Maury McSavini, and I asked him, I gave him a hypothetical situation if due to an asteroid event or an axis shift, if the east coast of the United States were to get hit by a wave that were 2,000 meters, which is over a mile tall, how long would it take to reach the central part of the country? And he told me, you know, about 10 hours, 10 to a dozen hours for it to cross the country. So you'd have some sort of leeway time.
Okay, we're wondering in this area. We've been trying to prepare, but we need to go to solar or wind energy, and we're wondering if those winds would just tear everything up. Wind energy.
Well, the 200 mile an hour winds would be less than 24 hours. So if your equipment was down and safe during that period of time, you could put them up after the fact.
Yeah, you could learn how to make a steam engine out of an old 350 block too, and that
way
you have steam, because that's probably going to be, people are probably going to be using those old engine blocks and aren't going to be running for steam engines. You watch.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, we need to move on here,
thank
Lane.
You.
Thank you for your call. One last call, if we can get it in here. Randy, be quick. Randy in Louisiana.
Yeah, I guess I'm calling with another research topic for you. But if you watch where the government is spending money, that might give you an idea of where the government expects, what areas they expect to survive.
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
For example, I understand that in Huntsville, Alabama, their military is doing an expansion development of existing facilities there. So
right.
I'm guessing...
Yeah, Huntsville will be very near the Gulf once this is over. Within, I'd say, 50 miles of the Gulf when this is over.
Well, here's an interesting story. Recently there was an announcement in Louisiana where a steel mill is going to be built between Baton Rouge and New Orleans, a multi-billion dollar project, but the owner is waiting a couple of years before it starts doing construction.
There you go.
That's why they haven't started the Freedom Tower in New York, probably, because they know it's just going to get wiped out anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. The big money people, they know what's happening. Yeah.
A lot of small money people do. So you'd be shocked once you start digging into this to find out how many people lower on the totem pole, you know, actors, musicians, things like that, actually are privy to this information too.
Absolutely. Randy, thank you for your call, sir. We appreciate it.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Lucas.
Okay.
Hey, take
Lucas,
care.
we're gonna have music here. I don't want to be cut off by the music in the middle of thanking you for your time.
Well, thank you for having me on.
We appreciate it, and we'll talk off air and get you back on here soon, Lucas.
All right, great. Take care.
Thank you, sir. That's it for today. That's it for this week. I'll be on at the Micro Effect at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. Just check out my website, thelibertyman.com. You all be safe. Have a wonderful, productive week. Buy lots of ammunition. And God bless America.